Please turn in your Bibles today to the book of Mark. I would like to read from Mark chapter 12. Several weeks ago, we began to look at the importance of loving the church. And I pray that God will help us more and more, that we might realize what a blessing it is to be a part of His church and that we might love the church. Today, the subject that's on my heart and mind is the importance of us loving God. We might say, well, you've got that out of order. Well, I understand that, but you preach what God puts on your heart at a particular time. And today God would have us to look at the importance of us loving God. I'd like to read now from Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 28. The Word of God says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, master, thou hast said the truth." You notice this man is commending Jesus. Pretty high and mighty scribe. Say, "You did a good job, Jesus. You answered right. Well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now, the Old Testament has repeated that quite a number of times. Brethren, obedience is better than sacrifice. It's better to obey than to disobey and then make a sacrifice for disobeying. And so that's what the scribe is saying, that we'll just keep these commandments about loving God and loving our neighbor, then we won't have to be making all these sacrifices for the sins that we're committing. And Jesus now commends this man for his answer. I think this is beautiful. Verse 34 says, "And when Jesus saw that he," that is the scribe, "answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question." So, first of all, you hear the scribe commending Jesus. You did a good job. And then Jesus, after hearing what the scribe said, he said, "You did a good job with your answer." And then he said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." I think everybody here understands that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of God is defined in the Bible as righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He wasn't telling the man, "You've almost been good enough, or you've almost been smart enough to go to heaven when you die." But he said, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." It's not the main thought, but just wanted to mention that. Now let's go back to the statement that Jesus gave when he was asked, what's the great commandment? What's the first and great commandment? In verse 30, the scripture says, I'll read 29 and 30. "And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God. I want you to think, first of all, just a moment about anything that you love or anyone that you love. Think about anyone that you love. And I want you to think, as you think about someone that you love or something that you love, I think that probably most of us love too many things. Some people love hunting, and some people love fishing, and some people love guns, and some people love all different kinds of things. We love different things, and we have people that we love. I love my wife. I don't know. I don't believe there's anybody on this earth that I don't believe there's any human being. I know there's not any human being that excites me like my wife. I just like to see her. If I'm around town during the day and I see her, Boy, it just makes me happy. I'll blow my horn, get on the phone, pull over. I see you. When I come home and she's not there, I go back and visit some more. Come back till she gets there. We love people, don't we? And the question is, how much do we really, really love God? How much do you really love God? I've been convicted as I've studied and meditating on this that I don't love God near as much as I ought to love God. In fact, I would have to confess to you that I don't even think about God as much as I ought to be thinking about God. Everybody hear what I'm just saying? I don't even think about God sometimes, and something's wrong with that. If I'm not even thinking about God, you know that I'm not loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. My mind has no problem loving hunting and fishing and things like that. Just think about it all the time during hunting or trapping season. Or, you understand? I can get on something like that and my mind just sticks right with it. But loving God? How much time do I spend loving God? I think the reason that I have not been loving God enough is that I've been loving the things of the world too much. We're different than God. God can think about everybody and look at everybody and know everything about everybody all the time. We're human beings and we can only think about one thing at a time. And so if my heart, if my affections are concentrating on the things of this world, and I get too many things of this world on my mind and in my heart, there's no room in there for me to love God. I'm too full of loving other things, and I don't have room to love God. Do you understand my problem? You might not have this problem, and some of you may be loving God with all your heart, soul, with all. I'm not talking about just occasionally loving God, but I'm talking about loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's the first and great commandment, is to love Him that much. Not just every now and think about Him. Not just love Him occasionally. Not just love Him on Sunday. But to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, turning your Bibles, if you will, to 1 John toward the end of the New Testament. 1 John, the easiest way for me to always find 1 John is to start in Revelation and back up about five pages. You'll be in 1 John. If you look at 1 John chapter 2, I want you to notice verse 15. This is, I think, the key to being able to do the text in Mark 12, 30, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The beginning of the way to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is found in 1 John 2, verse 15. You've got to do 1 John 2, 15 in order to do Mark 12, 30. 1 John 2, 15 says, love not. Now see, what did he tell us to do? And what's the positive in Mark 12, 30? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, this text says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, if I'm loving the world, the love of the Father is not in me. I don't have room to love God and love all these things in the world. If I'm loving the world, the love of the Father is not in me. So if I realize that the love of the Father, if I realize I'm not loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, then I need to see, now what is it that I do love? Because everybody here loves something or someone very much. Most everybody loves themselves more than they love anybody else. But everybody here loves something or someone, and we need to love God with all our hearts. There's room for everybody else if you love God first. That's amazing. If you love people and you love things too much, there may not be room for loving God. But if you love God first and foremost, there's room then. In fact, there is responsibility to love some people, to love people, period. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second is like and do it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ. All of that begins to fit together when God has His proper order in my heart. When I love God with all my heart, then I can love the people that I need to be loving as I should. And let me say this, loving God with all my heart means that I don't just say I love you, God. I've started doing that more and more. Is I love you, God. I love you, God. I like to say to Teresa, I love you, I love you, I love you, but I need to say to God, I love you, but I don't need to just say I love you, God. The scripture in 1 John, turn one page past where we're reading to 1 John chapter 3, and notice verse 18. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, the scripture says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now, what does that mean? That means don't just say I love you. That means show your love. So if we're going to fulfill the command in Mark 12:30 that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, if we're going to fulfill that command, we have to not just say, God, I love you. We can't just talk about our love for God, but we're to love in deed and in truth. So the question is, what are you doing to show that you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? I believe that you being here this morning is an evidence that you love God. As I look over this congregation, I know that some of you are here this morning because you love God and you want to do what's right in your life. Now that's a blessing. You're proving your love for God by being in God's house. You prove your love for God by reading and studying God's Word. You prove your love for God by loving people. Come down 1 John chapter 4 now. Looked at 1 John 2:15, love not the world. Looked at 1 John 3:18 that says we're to love in deed and in truth. Now look at 1 John chapter 4. Come down to verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. It's a wonderful truth to understand. If you do love God, you love God because he first loved you. I need to know that. God loved me long before I ever loved him. We love him because he first loved us. Now listen to verse 20. It's very, very important because there are barometers, there are gauges whereby in the Word of God we can tell whether or not we love God. And here's one of them in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Everybody understand what that means? If I say I love God and I don't love you, I'm a liar. So one of the ways I can tell whether or not I love God is whether or not I love you. Because if I don't love you, I don't love God. I don't know how to make that any plainer than what God said right here. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Brethren, I need to love you. That's what Jesus said. He says, now, the first and great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he says, now I must love my brother. If I don't love my brethren, I do not love God. Now, you might disagree with this, but I want you to think about it as you go home. I thought about it a lot. Can I love you without loving God? And I believe the answer to that is yes. Now listen carefully, please. I can't love God without loving you. But I think there are people who love people who do not really love God. And so it's important that we get the order correct, that we love God first and foremost, and that then we love our brethren. The main command is not for me to love you. The priority is love God and love your brethren and love your neighbor, but love God. Do things to show you love God. What are you doing to show God that you love him every day? I pray that God will help us to show our love, love indeed. Back up in your Bibles, just a few pages to Hebrews, about 10 pages to Hebrews chapter 6. And look in Hebrews chapter 6, I want you to see that when I am loving God, I'm going to love you. Watch this now. It's pretty. Hebrews chapter 6, listen please to verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, the Word of God says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. You see that? Your work and what? Labor of love. Now that's not just a little fuzzy feeling in your heart. That's working at it, isn't it? There are a lot of you that have shown me a lot of love. Do you understand? You've done things to show your love for me. That's a work and a labor of love. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward His name. Do you follow that? The work and labor of love which ye have showed toward who? Toward His name. Who is the pronoun He is referring back to? To God. The work and labor of love which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now what does God say here? You show your love for God by loving the people of God. You see, you're loving God, you're going to be loving His people. And that's the way you show your love for God, is by loving His people. God doesn't need any help. God doesn't need any help at all. There's nowhere in the Bible you ever find that God needs help. But it does make it plain that God's people need help. And so if you want to serve God, you've got to serve His people. There's no other way for you to show love for God if you're not showing love for people. And this is a work and a labor of love, is that you minister unto His saints, that you do something for His people. That's a work of love for God, is to love His people. Back up into Matthew chapter 15. Now listen very carefully in Matthew 15. I want to ask you a question. Let's suppose we're singing and somebody doesn't even open the book. Does that tell you anything? We're worshiping God. We're here to worship God. I love to watch people sing. I like to watch people be full of zeal when they do anything. Looks like some people just want to drag around and do nothing. And it comes to worship, they don't really want to worship. You know why you don't want to worship? Because you don't love God. People that love God, they want to worship God. It comes time to worship God and we start singing. You need to be lifting up your voice and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Don't tell me you can't sing. Everybody here can sing. Everybody here can make a joyful noise to the Lord. Sing. Brother David's been leading the singing here for 125 years, seems like, but long as I've been here. He was a song leader when I came here 35 years ago. I love to watch him sing. It doesn't matter if it's Bible study or church. It doesn't matter if it's in the annex. It doesn't matter if it's in somebody's home. I like to watch him sing. You know why? He does it with all his heart. I'll tell you what. You can tell a lot about how much somebody loves God when you watch them sing or watch them not sing. I pray that God will help you and me to know. I can tell whether or not I love God. Other people can watch me and tell whether or not I love God. Other people can watch you and tell you whether or not you love God. If you're not studying God's Word, if you're not worshiping God, you just don't love God. You're not loving God. You're not loving God if you're not worshiping God. Listen to Matthew 15. Listen, please. Look in your Bibles. Matthew 15, verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now listen carefully. You can get up here and sing out loud. You can. Now my first suggestion is, if you're not even singing, you're not showing love for God. The second suggestion is, you can be singing every word and still not be worshiping God. You can hit every note. You can sound beautiful. You can harmonize, but still not be worshiping God, because if your heart is not in it, you're not worshiping God. Everybody follow that? This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. If your heart isn't in it. So David, you were a supervisor at the railroad. Did you ever see anybody that heart wasn't in their work? The heart wasn't in the work. The heart's not in it. Brethren, when somebody's heart is in something, you're going to see some fire in their bones. I see somebody talk about hunting, and I can tell you whether they're really interested in hunting. Oh man, they'll get all fired up talking about hunting. But then start talking about God. Where's your heart? How's your heart? If you love God, if your heart's in it, if there's passion there, if the love is there, if the desire is there, it'll show when you start trying to serve the Lord. It'll show. You ever see anybody full of fire, full of zeal, full of commitment toward God? It'll show in all the things that they do in their lives. They'll be good workers. They'll be good employees because they like to work hard. How's your heart toward God? Now, you can be a good employee without even loving God, but you can love God by being a good employee. I want you to look at somebody that really, really, really loved God. Back up to Psalm 42. Here's a man that had some passion. He had some desire. He had some zeal. He had some love for God. And in a little while, we'll be going home. And when Teresa said, that we'll be sitting around talking in the living room. And when Teresa says, lunch is ready, You know what's going to happen, Brother John? When she says lunch is ready, you think we're going to, I don't care what we're talking about. What do you think happened? We can be in the middle of a very important discussion, and what's going to happen when she says lunch is ready? All talking stops. We all jump up. We all go to the table. That's all she asks. Lunch is ready. Doesn't matter what we're talking about. Here we go. We're ready to eat. Listen, brethren, we need to be ready to worship God. We need to be ready to love God. Do you have any reason to love God? I've got a reason to love every one of you. I do. I know everybody here. I've got a reason to love you. I have a lot of reasons, but I've got more reasons to love God than I do all of you combined. I've got a lot of reasons to love God. God commendeth his love toward me in that when I was a sinner, he gave his only begotten son for me. Nobody here has ever done as much for me as God has done for me. Now you give me reasons to love you, and I'll try to love you. And God has given you more reasons to love him than everybody else has. In fact, the only reason you do anything toward me that's good is because God put it in you. So every good thing you've ever done for me, I ought to love God more because God put it in you to do it for me. I ought to love God more than all of you combined. One of the songwriters says, he's done so very much for me. I want to love him more. Every good and perfect gift that I have, it came from God. Do you know where your children came from? They came from God. Do you love your children? You need to thank God. You need to love God because God gave you those children. You love your spouse? You know where my wife came from? God gave her to me. My parents? I love my parents. Do you know where my parents came from? God gave me the parents that I have. My brothers and sisters in Christ, do you know how we came together? God brought us together. You see? All my love, I need to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God. Show your love for God. Psalm 42, listen to this man, David. David's talking about how much he loved God. In Psalm 42, listen to verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, as the hart, that's a deer, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul is running after God like a deer is running after water. Deer often are very thirsty and they'll run to water. As a hart, as a deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, God. There are very few times in my life I've been in this category where I was just running after God. All I wanted was just God. Lord, just give me. I just want to be with you. I just want to feel you. But I have been there. Do you understand? I've been there where all I wanted was God. I just need God. My focus was on God. My passion was for God. My desire was for God. Everything my soul wanted to find and feel the presence of God. I loved God. I wanted to be with God. Next verse, he says, my soul thirsteth not for food, not for women, not for clothing, not for children, not for houses. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. I'll tell you, brethren, there's only one true and living God. Muhammad and Buddha and all these other, they are no gods. They are dead gods. They are no gods. There's only one true and living God. And David says here, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. You know why he said for the living God? One of the reasons is because we have so many little G-O-D-S. We have so many little gods in our lives. He says, my soul thirsteth for God. Unless you misunderstand what he's talking about, he says, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I want to be in God's presence. I want to be with God. I want you to be with God. I'm not talking about be with God when you die. I want you to be with God right now. I want you to love God right now. Love him. Love him. Love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. He's given you all these people to love. Now love him. Love him first and foremost. Jesus makes this statement in John chapter 14. He says, if a man loves me, he will keep my commandments. You want to know whether or not I love God? Do I keep his commandments? You want to know whether or not I love God? Do I worship God? You want to know whether or not I love God? Do I love you? If I don't love you, I don't love God. If you say you love God and you hate your brother, you're wrong. I pray that God will help us today. I pray that God will help me today. that I every day will love God with all my heart, the desire, the passion, everything I feel for all these other things ought to be nothing compared to my love for God. God help us to love Him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength is my prayer for Christ's sake.